sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I encourage you to open to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 is where I would like to pick back up this morning, if the Lord be with us. I want to try to continue the thoughts and the study of looking unto Jesus and getting to know Him better. Getting to know our brother. Getting to know our friend. Getting to know our Savior. And understanding all that Scripture, and now I say getting to know all that Scripture would have us to know, I know we'll never attain to that. But at least to strive to know Him better and to understand Him better and to learn at least more of what Scripture would have us to know of Him. Last week we began looking here in Revelation chapter 1, and I want to pick up there again this morning. If you would read with me, Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 4. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And I'll stop there again this morning. Last week we began looking at some of these descriptions that the Lord inspired the Apostle John to record here for us in his revelation. I remind you again not to be afraid of this book, not to look at this book. It's something that we're not supposed to touch, we're not supposed to be around, because it's higher than us and it's too far for us, and unless you're some grand theologian, you can't approach unto it. This book is written to you. It's written for you. It's inspired of God, and it is part of what is a thorough furnisher unto us, the children of God, unto all good works. We need to understand it all and not be afraid of any of it. We begin looking here in Revelation at some of these descriptions that John gives us, and I want to give you the overarching one that I want us to really focus on and really get to know, is the comparison and the truth that he gives us between God Himself and Jesus. When he begins here and he says, and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, there he is speaking about God Almighty. He is talking about God the Father. And what a truth, what a wonderful blessing it is that God changes not. We looked at this last week. I'm going to try really hard not to rehash that, but I do want to catch us back up and lay this principle that I want us to remember again this morning. God changes not. The fact that He loved us before the world began tells us that He loved us then. He loved us when He sent His Son. He loved us when His Son died. He loved us when His Son rose again. He loved us when His Son walked this earth again for 50 plus days, being witnessed and seen by others. He loves us today. He'll love us tomorrow. He loved us last week. And He will love us for all eternity, because I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. It is the sole reason that God does not throw His hands up and say, I've had it.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, God gives us that plainly. Yeah. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If I was able to change, I'd spew you out of my mouth. I'd wash my hands of you. I'd walk away. You're stiff-necked. You're tough-hearted. You don't care. You don't worship me. I'd walk away. But here's the blessed truth. I change not. I'll not move. Is that not good?
Yes.
What a blessed truth for us to know. And in that eighth verse, the final verse, He tells us that Jesus Christ is exactly the same. Here He's talking about Christ, our Savior, our brother, our friend. I am Alpha and Omega. He's not just Alpha and Omega. He's everything in between. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and I am the ending. And He's everything in between. Don't ever miss that. We can get lost in I am Alpha and Omega and forget that He is everything in between. God is involved with choosing us, and God is involved with saving us, and we're all on our own until we get there. No, brothers and sisters, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning. I am the ending. I am the Almighty. I am the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God. Y'all realize that. Y'all think about that. When you consider Christ, He is God Almighty. He is not a lesser God. He is not a smaller God. He's not a demigod. He is God Almighty. Emmanuel, God with us. He is still with us. He was, He is, He is to come. Every one of these descriptions that John gives us here, I want you to realize He was, He is, and He is to come. And if the Lord blesses us to continue this study, every time and every aspect we see of Christ, I want you to know and understand He was, He is, and He is to come. He changes not. He does not move. There's not one that He died for on the cross that today He doesn't care about. He does not change. He is Almighty.
Yes, amen.
We began looking at this last week with that overarching theme, and I want that theme to continue. I want that principle to be ground into you. I want you to remember that principle throughout the remainder of your life. I want you to know the principle that Jesus is God. This is one of the hardest things to understand about the Trinity. They are all the same. They are all equal. God by Himself is God, Jesus by Himself is God, Holy Spirit by Himself is God, and all three are God. There's not three gods, they're all one, they're all the same. They're of the same mind, they're of the same purpose, and John teaches that here perfectly in saying they're exactly the same. We are to be God-like. Jesus is God. We're to follow after Him. He is Him. Does that make sense? You understand that? That's the principle that I want you to remember as we go through this study. And we began looking at it last week and looking that Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and realizing that He has been the faithful witness, He was the faithful witness, and He will forever be the faithful witness. I got to thinking about that more this morning, and that's why it's so hard to do series and not just rehash everything, because the longer you think about it, the more you consider. You know, He stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Everyone that died prior to the crucifixion did not sit in a holding tank. They did not sit in purgatory. And God forbid, they did not sit in hell waiting on Jesus Christ to die for them to come home to heaven. He was a faithful witness from the very foundation of the world, and they went home on the credit of Jesus Christ was going to die for their sins. When Adam died on this earth, the moment his eyes closed in this world, he woke up in heaven because Jesus Christ was the faithful witness.
Amen.
I'll die for Him, Lord. Good enough for me. Bring Him on.
Yes. That's right.
They went home on the credit plan. We go home on the prepaid plan. I heard a brother talk about that. I thought that was pretty good. He is the faithful witness. He was, He is, and He ever will be. When God looks at us today, He looks at us through the lens of Jesus being a faithful witness for us still today. He will be to come. That's Jesus. And He is the first begotten of the dead. He's the first one to have that glorified, righteous, perfect, holy body that is born again in the resurrection that we will all have on that last day. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, and the image His Son is a perfect spirit inside of a perfect body in heaven for eternity. Guess what you're going to be? Perfect spirit and a perfect body in heaven with Him for eternity. That's what you're predestinated to. Is, was, is to come. And He is the King of the earth. He is the Prince of the kings of the earth. This is where we ended last week, and I want to remind you again, in all of the turmoil and all of the mess and all of the junk and all of the political division that's going on right now, we used to constantly think, you know, it'll change in 4 years or it'll change in 2 years. Here lately, we're worried it's going to change every day. I understand that worry. I live here too. I understand that fear. I understand the fear and the worry and the concern for our children and our grandchildren. I get that. I do. I live it. But here's a blessed truth that we need to remember. Jesus has been, is, and will ever be the Prince of the kings of this earth. He is in control, and He always will be in control over those yahoos that call themselves in control. He's over them. He's ruling them, whether they want to admit it or not. They may find themselves like Nebuchadnezzar. They wake up in the field covered in dew and hair down to their knees before they realize it, but God was in control of them the whole time. God is in control, and Jesus is right there, seated on the right hand of God until His enemies are made His footstool. Still today, Jesus is in control. We can rest in that. We should rest in that. And it'll come from an understanding that Jesus changes not. Because He is the Prince of the kings of the earth. Now He continues on here, and I want to try to as well. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. That's Jesus. Now, the more I thought about that this morning, the more I didn't really know how to present it, because it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and greater the longer I thought about it. But so many times when we consider the love of God, y'all ever consider the love of God? But so many times when we consider the love of God, we consider the love of God Almighty, God the Father. I have loved you with an eternal love. It is for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And that foreknowledge there is not just a basic understanding. Y'all understand that God knows everyone. He knows everything. He knows every molecule of our being. He knows the very number of the hairs on our heads. He knows everyone. That foreknowledge that he's talking about there is love. For love. For whom he did for love. For those that he loved before they even existed. For those that he loved before the world began. He chose and he predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the love of God. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Fearfully and wonderfully made, we know that God tells us that we are. And we consider the most quoted, the most taught, probably one of the most popular verses of all of Scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So we consider that, and we understand that God Almighty, God the Father, is in heaven, not just emoting, not just sitting up there and just burning with love for you. He loved us enough that he did something about it. He gave his only begotten Son for us. He sent him here for the purpose of dying for us. He loves us that much. And he loves us so much that our foolishness doesn't separate us. We think of Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not height, not depth, life or death, nor any other creature can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can do that. If God be for us, who can be against us, we're told. Amen? That's awesome stuff to think about, isn't it? But how often do you think about the love Jesus has for us? And really stop to think about Jesus. And this is what I want us to do. I want us to learn him better and consider him more, to understand him even more. I found it fascinating this morning as I read this and considered it. And in all the weeks I've been considering this, I hadn't noticed or thought about it. But the fact that there's a period and he shifts here. He says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, period. And he shifts here a little bit. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There's something about Jesus that is hard to understand, but important for us to remember. Jesus is all God. Amen? We've looked at that. We've considered that. We've seen that he is, he was, and he is to come. But he's also all man. Man, flesh and blood, born of woman. He, the body, Jesus, the man Jesus Christ, has not always existed. He was born of woman, not of man, very important. Born of woman, born in due season. Jesus is the first begotten of the dead. Jesus is the first begotten Son of God. Jesus himself is not born of God. He is God. But Jesus is the first begotten of God. Am I confusing you yet? I hope not. That's hard to grasp. Here I believe he's talking about the man. I love to think about Jesus loved me with an everlasting love. And he loved me enough to stand for me before the foundation of the world. I love the fact that Jesus was he loved me enough to be willing to come and to be made lower than the angels. I love to think about Jesus is seated on the right hand of God right now and being my mediator and being that I can pray through and that God looks at me through him. I love to think about Jesus loves me enough that he's not going to let my body sit in the ground and see corruption. He's going to come back and get it as well. I love to think about how Jesus loves me enough to do all of that. But this morning I was made to consider the fact that there was a man that didn't know me, that didn't know my name. I'm 2,000 years removed from him even being on this earth nearly by now. And that man loved me. That man, born of woman, that loved us and loved his people. Y'all go with me here to John chapter 15. This is a verse that we all know very well. But it kind of brings a whole new meaning to it this morning as I was considering this and really thinking about Jesus and how often is it the man Jesus that's talking and how often is it God himself that's talking. Understand, when he hung on the cross and the thief looked at him and said, "Remember me." And he said, "This day will you be with me in paradise." That was God, Jesus, talking to him. The Godhead in Jesus did not die on the cross. That day, the Godhead Jesus went home, and that thief was with him in paradise. The man Jesus laid in the ground, removed and dead. He didn't see him that day. It was a long time from then. But here in John 15, when you really look at it that way and consider it, and understand they're just as God is the same as Jesus and Jesus is God, they're one person. But there's a duality of Christ. All God and all man. It's the man Jesus that grew in wisdom and stature both with men and with God. The man Jesus learned from his father what he was here for. Realize this was a 12-year-old boy that looked at his mom and said, "Know ye not that I must be about my father's business?" There was a 12-year-old boy that knew he was here for God and willing to follow it. That's astounding to me when I really stop to think about it. And here Jesus is teaching his apostles, teaching his disciples. And he gives us something that we all know very well. This whole section of Scripture is awesome. I'd love to go through it all, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go start here in the 12th verse of chapter 15. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Wow. Well, he's talking to the apostles. What are you holding in your hands? Everything that God would have us to know, he's given unto us. The man Jesus looked at his apostles and looked to his disciples and looked to those that were willing to follow, those that were willing to lay down their current lives and lay aside their needs and their desires and their will excuse me, and were willing to do as he's doing and follow after the Father, he looked at them and said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And what did this man do? It's amazing to think that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son in our stead. That he was willing to give up his son. He was willing to give up his only begotten son. That's astounding to me. I love y'all, but I can tell you, I'll die for you quicker than I'll let one of my kids do it. It's amazing to think that God was willing to do that. But consider Christ, a man born of woman that was taught of God what he was here for and willing to go through it and willing to give up his life, willing to lay down his life for his friends. This is much like when Abraham took up Isaac, his son of promise, and we're going to give sacrifice up on the mount. And it says that he and the lad went up. And because of that, we consider Isaac to be some small child at this point because he says the lad. But understand, go back and read that section in Genesis and see who's carrying the wood to build and to burn the altar. It was Isaac that was carrying the wood. This is not a small child. I imagine he was a young teenager by this time. He was able to carry the amount of wood that it took to build and burn a sacrifice. And this old man, y'all remember he was 100 years old when the boy was born, was able to bind him and put him on the altar. Isaac was willing to do so. He was submissive to his father. What a picture of Christ. Born of promise, the only child of promise. I tell you, this picture just grows bigger and bigger the longer you think about it. The only son of promise, the only one born this way, born of a virgin, a miraculous birth, same as Isaac was, wasn't of a virgin, but it was a miraculous birth, far removed from the ability for either one of them to have children. And Jesus was born of woman and taught of God what he was here for. And he was willing to stand before the judgment of this world, knowing full well he was innocent. That's astounding that God would be willing to do that. But this is man. Man is able to change his mind. We do it all the time. But this man was willing to stand before the judgment of the world and remain silent. This man, as he was beat, was willing to stand back up. This man that was nailed to a cross was willing to carry his cross there, knowing what was coming. And willing to lay down his own life and to wash us with his own blood. Because he calls us friends. Now I ask you, is Christ not awesome? Willing to lay down his life and wash us in his own blood, John says. To him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That is Jesus. That's our brother. That's our friend. And he says that we can be friends with him if we keep his commandments. Friendship is not free. Contrary to this world's belittling of it and demeaning of what friendship is, it's not something found on Facebook and online. You can look at my Facebook. I've got 200 and some odd friends. You know how many of them are actual friends? About that many. Friendship's not free. Friendship costs. Friendship is better than servanthood because the servant doesn't know what he's doing the work for. He's just doing the work because he's told to. I don't want you to be a servant of God. I don't want you to be a Christian that just serves God and serves Christ. I want you to be a Christian that realizes that that man was willing to lay down his life. I ought to lay down my life for him. And be willing to follow after him. Because he's told me why I do what I'm doing. He's told me why he was willing to lay down his life for me. Because he loved me. That's awesome. I mean, that just blew my mind this morning when I considered that. That this is the man that he's talking about here. That Jesus Christ, flesh and blood, my high priest. I mean, it just opens the whole of the New Testament, a whole new level of it when you consider that that is a man that is our high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's a man that is seated on the right hand of God that knows what we're going through and knows, understands. It puts a whole nother level on his ability to be a faithful witness to us. An angel cannot be a faithful witness to us. They don't know what it feels like to stub your toe. He was a carpenter's son. How many times do you think he smashed his finger? Now, can you imagine he smashed his finger and didn't have that initial reaction of wanting to let words fly out that shouldn't come flying out? An angel doesn't know that. But he does. Because he's man. And was willing to do that. That's awesome. And to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly what he did. Now, I hope to look at that a whole lot more detail later on down through the lines on this study as we get into it. But he washed us from our sins. In his own blood. He washed us whiter than snow. He didn't miss a single one. There's not a single sin carried to that cross that wasn't dealt with. He left nothing laying on the table. Sometimes I say I give 100%, but the reality is I gave about 95. He gave 100. He went beyond what needed to be done. He washed us of every sin. Every sin. Whew, y'all think about this. He washed us of every sin that I have committed. Every sin that I am committing. And if any of you raise your hand and say you've never sinned in the church, you just committed one. Every sin I ever have committed, he washed me. Every sin I am committing, he washed me. And every sin that I will commit, he washed me with his own blood. That's the Jesus Christ I serve. That's the Jesus Christ I want to proclaim to others. That's the Jesus Christ of the gospel that'll save us from our foolishness. This Jesus that is proclaimed that doesn't wash you of all your sins, he just throws the blood out there and says, can you jump into it? No. He didn't put a pool out there and say, everybody that wants to get into me, just jump into the blood. Are you washed in the blood? I love the song, but it's foolishness. Are you washed in the blood? What are you going to do about it if you're not? He didn't make a way. The Jesus of Scripture, the Jesus of the Word of God, the Jesus that is the one true and living Christ, washed us, past tense, of all of our sins, past, present, and future. In His own blood, He didn't do it in somebody else's. He didn't do it in some blood sacrifice on an altar of a ram or a bullock or a pigeon or a dove. He did it in His own blood. He said, I know what's going to work. And that man, born of woman, walked on this earth, that loved his life as much as you do, that loved being here just as much as you do, and despised the shame that the name of Jesus was going to be tied with a curse of hanging on a tree, was willing to do it anyway, because He loved us. And washed us. I can't emphasize that enough. Past, present, and future. Y'all know what that did? Y'all understand? Ain't God good? His Word of God, ain't it good? You know what it did when He washed us? And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. It was an effective washing. He didn't throw it on us and see what happened and see what sticks. He's not testing the spaghetti, throwing it on the wall to see if it sticks. He washed us personally. I love to think about this. This is not just Him pouring His blood out to see where it lands. He washed us. Washing is an action. It's active. It's personal. Anyone who has ever had a child and gave them a bath, it's active. And half the times they don't even like it. It's personal. He got His hands on us. He scrubbed us clean. He got into every nook and cranny. And He made sure there was nothing left. Nothing left behind. Smooth and white as snow from head to toe. And because He did that, He has made us kings and priests unto God. Oh, I just wished I could overcome sin in my life. You're a king! You rule in your life. You do what you want to do. Don't give me that. And I say it too. So understand, it's not just me preaching it, y'all. I need it too. Don't give me that. He has made you a king in your life. A king and a priest unto God. You rule in your life. You have the choice. By being a child of God, by being born again of God, you are a very rare and precious creature. You are the only creature on the face of God's green earth that actually has free will. Only a born again, regenerated child of God actually has free will. Prior to it, you have one will, and that's to run away from God and to hate Him. That's all you've got. You don't have choice B. You have choice A. I'm going to serve myself. I'm going to hate God. I'm going to serve sin. And I'm going to serve the prince of the power of the air. That's the only option you've got. Because you're a born again child of God, you have the ability, you have the freedom, you have the liberty that we're told to serve God or to serve mammon, and choose you this day whom you will serve, and know you cannot do them both. You can try, and you can work yourself into a tizzy. And like I've been trying to convince them at work, busy does not mean you're doing good. You work yourself into a tizzy trying to serve them both and think you're accomplishing nothing, and you're like an old Dodge truck, you're making a lot of racket, ain't going nowhere. You can't do them both. Choose you this day, and you have the ability to do so. He's made you king. He's made you ruler. He's made you more than conquerors. That's a king. Not only does He tear it down, He rules over it when He's done. That's more than a conqueror. And He's made you priest. unto God. You have the ability, you have the right, because you're washed whiter than snow in the blood of Christ that was willing to give it, you have the right, the privilege, and the ability to go boldly unto the throne of grace all the way to the feet of God and beg for Him to be in your life and be involved and to take over things and to cast your cares upon Him. You have been made priests unto God. There is no more you have one high priest over here that you've got to come and talk to so that he can pray unto God for you. We don't have that. We're all our own priests. Jesus is our high priest, but we have the priesthood and ability to talk to God. Because you're washed in the blood. Ain't that good? That John just doesn't stop with the fact that you're washed and say, okay, you're washed. Figure out what you're going to do with it. No, because you're washed, He has made you kings and priests unto God. That's good stuff. And before we finish that verse, I want to give you one more description, because I want to finish with the end of that verse. Y'all go with me to Revelation chapter 5, and it ties into this, but it gives you one more description of Christ I want you to be mindful of as you think of this. Revelation chapter 5, I'm going to read several verses here, and y'all just really think about this and consider it. Revelation chapter 5, starting in the first verse. This is one of John's visions. Don't let it scare you, though. Don't go, oh, I'm not going to understand this. This is just a vision. Just listen to it. It'll make sense. He says, "And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne." Him that sat on the throne is God Almighty. "And I saw that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" The book is the Lamb's Book of Life, by the way. "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Now there's a lot of good people in heaven at this point. Abraham's there. Moses is there. God buried him. Nobody knows where it's at. Elijah was carried up in a chariot of fire. He's there. He's not worthy. He's not able. None of the priesthood's able. Nobody on the earth, nobody under the earth, nobody has died that's still here in the ground. Aren't you glad that? He says, nobody under the earth. I know somebody that's not under there anymore. Nobody's dead and gone. Nobody is able. And John's reaction, "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to even look upon it." Don't you be trying to judge who's in there. You don't even have the right to consider it. There's a little lesson for you. "And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" Y'all know who that is? That's Jesus. We're fixed to get a description of Him. "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." He's still talking about Christ. Don't let that confuse you. Still talking about Christ. "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." No coincidence there. "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And behold, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And I'll stop there. This is Jesus. There's a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. Is it a literal book? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But there is a book in heaven that was written long before this time. If you read Revelation and you take the time to study it, you'll not find one place in here where after Jesus opens it, he adds or takes away a single name. It was written before the world began. And inside of that was the names of every one of God's people. Written as he chose you, he wrote you down. Before the foundation of the world, he knew your name and he wrote you down. And he sealed it shut. Preserved in grace. No one's worthy to look on it even. No one's worthy to open it. No one's worthy to open the seals. We are not worthy. The priesthood is not worthy. Scripture is not worthy. The world is not worthy. Satan is not worthy or powerful enough. It's been sealed shut from before the foundation of the world. Adam in his foolishness was not worthy to open the seals. And John looked at that as a bad thing. He wept bitterly because he wanted to know his name was in there. And nobody's able to open the book. But there's one that's worthy. It's a description of Christ we need to know. He is worthy. Jesus just simply takes it out of God's hand on the right hand of the throne. I told y'all no coincidence there. He just said, and opened it up. Because he's worthy. He followed the will of the Father. He followed the will and the doctrine and the teachings and the purpose and the calling and the sacrifice. He is still worthy. He was covered. He was made to be sin. How perfect was the sacrifice of Christ? He was made to be sin. And his washing and his sacrifice was so perfect. Even though that man, Jesus Christ, this is a man that's seated beside him. Even though that man was made to be sin and he was covered in it from head to toe, made to be iniquity. Though the sacrifice was so good and so perfect, our resurrected bodies that we're going to be in the image of is so perfect. He is able and worthy to be seated on the right hand of God and to take the Lamb's Book of Life and to open it up and to read the names. And all of the host of heaven. I don't know much about heaven. Scripture doesn't tell us much about heaven. But one thing I do know about heaven, it's going to be a noisy place. I mean, you got 10,000s and thousands of thousands. I mean, this number is innumerable. I don't think it was an exact number. John just said, I lost count. I saw 10,000 and 10,000s, and then there were thousands and thousands on top of them. And they were singing and praising the name of Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb of God who redeemed us unto God out of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people, he redeemed us unto God. That's the Jesus Christ of Scripture that is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our following. I got guys at work that don't want to do what I ask them to, probably because they don't think I'm worth following after. Jesus is. I fail as a boss probably daily, and they would amen that. I fail as a pastor, and y'all need to amen that, because I do. I've got a lot of work. A lot of work to be done. Room for improvement, my dad's always said. There's no room for improvement in Christ. He's perfect. He's mighty. He's worthy. He's successful. He did it. He is worthy of our bending the knee. He is worthy of our study. He is worthy of our sacrifice. He is worthy to receive our power. Y'all realize we're the ones that can give him this. He's almighty. Does he need power? I mean, is he lacking of power? We're not talking about literally giving him these things. He is worthy of our power. He is worthy of our riches. Yeah, you're supposed to give to God. He is worthy of our power. He is worthy of our riches. He is worthy of our wisdom, and that is our studies. He is worthy to be studied. He is worthy of us getting smarter. He is worthy of our maturity. He is worthy of our strength. He is worthy of our honor. He is worthy of our glory. And simply because he is Jesus Christ that has redeemed us, and God says he's worthy, and because of that, he is worthy. He is worthy. That is who Jesus Christ is. And to close this up, and it's saying the same thing. In chapter 1 again, verse 6, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And the church says, amen. That's Jesus. Do you want to learn about him? You want to know a little more about him? That's the Jesus we serve. He's worthy of our praise. He is worthy of dominion. He is the only one worthy of dominion. I tell you, he's made you kings and priests, but you've got a king over you. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, and that doesn't stop with nations. That includes you. We are supposed to follow. We are not meant to be God. We are meant to follow God. We are meant to strive to be like Christ because he is worthy to be followed after. I've told y'all this before, but I can remember as a kid, and you know, they just come out with a new Space Jam, so we had to watch the old Space Jam. Old Michael Jordan. I can remember when I was a kid, everybody had the poster and the stickers and everything. I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike because he was a good guy. And that dude could play some basketball. I want to be like Mike. That's great and all. But you want to know who's worthy? I want to be like Christ. He's the goal. He's the one to study. He's the one to attain to. He's the one that we are supposed to spend our life studying, following, chasing. And as David says, I follow hard after thee, thy right hand. No coincidence there either. Thy right hand doth uphold me. I follow hard after thee. And Jesus holds me up. That's Jesus. You want to know him? He's told us everything we need to know about him. I thank you. God bless.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Crystal sea,
crystal sea.